Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my player spotlight on the late, great Bill Walton. So we'll go through his basketball playing days and then, of course, his life as a commentator as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcasts. And right about now, guys, wanted to do this. I did an IG Live kind of giving you a little head, kind of a head start on what I'm going to cover this week. And that's going to be the passing of the late, great Bill Walton. So we'll do our player spotlight on him and all that he's accomplished along the way. And, of course, give our condolences and so forth. So, without any further delay, let's get right into it. Born William Theodore Walton III, Bill Walton, one of the great centers who really played the game, but you know, injuries really robbed him of what we could have seen from him. You know, you think of passing centers like Nikola Jokic. I can even go as far back as guys like Alvin Adams, guys like that who can pass out of the post. But Bill Walton was the prototype when it came to that. He just loved getting his teammates involved. And, of course, when need be, he takes the scoring upon himself. So with that said, and then, of course, injuries, 38 surgeries he's had in his lifetime. Wow. So that just tells you all you need to know. So with that said, like I said, Bill Walton, born November 5th, 1952, listed as 6'11", but a lot of people joke, excuse me. A lot of people say, oh, there's no way he's just 6'11". He has to be 7 feet. He never wanted to be listed as 7 feet because being a 7-footer, he thought there was a kind of, I guess you could say, kind of a stigma put on guys that are 7 feet and taller. So he always considered himself to be 6'11", although he was taller than that. But nonetheless, like I said, born November 5th, 1952, in La Mesa, California. And that's in the San Diego area. His parents, William Theodore Jr., also known as Ted, and his dad was 6'4", guys. He was a music teacher and also a social worker. And his mom, Gloria Ann, but she's known as by her nickname, Hickey. And guys, his mom was 5'10". So you're talking about right there, his genes dictated that he was going to be a tall young man. So, and his mom worked as a librarian. So that's his parents. And then his siblings, his brother Bruce, who also played football. I'll talk about him in a few. Also his sister Kathy and other brother Andy. Bill's interests as a youngster was music, the arts, literature, and politics, because that was handed down to him from his parents. And actually, his dad formed a family band, like around the age they were in junior high school and high school. And in that band, Bruce would play the trombone, his brother Andy on the saxophone, Kathy, she was multi-dimensional. She can play the drums, she could play tuba, and she could even play the flute as well. And Bill, he would play the baritone horn. So very talented family there, as you can see. Bill's first taste of organized basketball came at the age of 8. He played in elementary school, playing under Frank Graziano, otherwise known as Rocky Graziano. And he taught him the team concept and how to make basketball fun and get everyone involved. Bill, as he was growing up, very shy, very reserved. He also had a stuttering condition, guys, that he had up until the age of 28. Also, Bill would listen to the radio, and on the radio in that around that time was Chick Hearn. He would call the Laker games. So Bill getting his early taste of basketball, listening to the transistor radio, which I know a lot of you young folks are like, what? Transistor radio? That's how they listened to basketball back in those days when he was coming up. Not many families had TVs and so forth. So there's that. So we fast forward, guys, to high school. He went on to play at Helix High School, and that's in the La Mesa area of California. Bill started out as a 6'1 kid, and then before all was said and done, when he graduated, he was at 6'11. And Bill was plagued by injuries early on, guys. He had a broken ankle, broken leg, bones in his feet. Broken bones in his feet, also torn cartilage in his knee. In fact, I believe it was his sophomore to junior season where he had, well, I believe his sophomore year where he got injured. So he had to kind of rest himself. And in doing that, he grew an additional 5 inches. So he comes in 6'1". Next thing you know, he's 6'6". And also, guys, Bill played with his older brother on the team. His brother was a year older than him. And his brother, Bruce, let me tell you guys, he was 6'6", 250 pounds, whereas Bill was a kind of a rail at about 210 or so. And Bruce would be Bill's enforcer. Anytime the other team, you know, try some dirty tactics, Bruce would come in there and handle business. So, guys, during Bill's 2 varsity seasons, those were his healthy years, and that would be his junior and senior year, in fact. Bill amassed a record of 62-2, guys, including 49 straight games that he won. And in doing so, they would win 2 state championships, guys. And Bill played under the tutelage of Gordon Nash. And then one of his early mentors as well was a guy named Ernie Vanderbilt. Ernie Vanderway. And the name Vanderway, yes, this is the dad of Kiki Vanderway, who ended up playing basketball as well. So, like I said, he won the 2 state championships. Guys, this is what one of his games, he would have 50 points, 34 rebounds, and 9 block shots. And he did that against the number 1 team in California, Pasadena High School. And guys, in Bill's senior year, he averaged 29 points per game, 25 rebounds, shooting it from the field a whopping 78.3%. So Bill dominating in high school. And actually his first national exposure would come in the magazine Sports Illustrated. They would have a section for faces in the crowd, and they had a little blurb about Bill Walton. And this happened during his senior year, January 26, 1970, guys. So that's what Bill was doing in high school there. And little known fact, the San Diego Rockets at the time, that was a NBA franchise there that would later move to Houston and become the Houston Rockets. They would practice in the high school gymnasium there for Helix High School. And players on the team at that time was Elvin Hayes, Calvin Murphy, Pat Riley when he was a player, Rudy Tomjanovich when he was a player, and Rick Adelman as well. All three of these guys, legendary NBA coaches. And young Bill would have the keys to the gym because, you know, he wanted to go in there and practice. So you have these guys like Elvin Hayes, they would call Bill's house asking for the key to the gym so they can get in there and play and so forth. And of course, Bill would participate with those pros there. So getting an early taste of the NBA game Bill did. So during his time at Helix, of course, all the colleges, the recruiters would come in, and Denny Crum, who was a assistant at UCLA, he would later become the head coach at Louisville. He came down to see Bill play while he was in college. Actually, he saw him during his junior year. And after watching him, Denny Crum went back to the legendary John Wooden and was singing the praises of the young Bill Walton, saying he is the best high school basketball player that he's ever seen. And then as the story would go, actually I heard John Wooden say it himself. He said, "Calm down, Denny. There's never been a great high school basketball player to come out of the San Diego area," is what he said. So, not believing Denny Crum all that much, he said, "I need to see for myself." John Wooden saw, and he said, "Yeah, this kid is pretty good." So, with that said, of course, they would recruit Bill, and lo and behold, Bill decides to go to the University of California at Los Angeles, otherwise known as UCLA, guys. And of course, he is now the successor to Lou Alcindor, who would become Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was there the previous 4 years. And we know, actually, I did a player spotlight on Kareem last year. You can check it out. And he had a dominant run at UCLA. So in comes Bill Walton to the university. And oh, by the way, remember Bill Walton's brother, Bruce? He goes to the same college and plays football there. And he would later go to the NFL. Yeah, I'll say a little something about that later. So Bill, in his first season at UCLA, actually as a freshman, the rules back then was the freshmen couldn't play with the varsity team, so Bill would be on the freshman team. So on that team would be Bill Walton, a kid named Keith Wilkes, who we now know as Jamal Wilkes, and Greg Lee. And they formed a mighty big three back then with Bill averaging over 16 points per game, over 18 points per game, 16 rebounds, and Wilkes, 20 points he would average, and then Greg Lee, he averaged 17 points. The JV team would go undefeated, guys. That's how good they were. And, of course, playing for the legendary John Wooden. And you know John Wooden, he has his pyramid of success, all his sayings and so forth that gets drilled into those young men's heads. And, of course, Bill would carry those words on into his pro career and pass it down to his sons as well. So with all of that said, now we enter his sophomore year. So Bill makes his varsity debut December 3rd, 1971 versus the Senegal. And in his first game, UCLA wins 105-49. And in that game, Bill has 19 points and 14 rebounds. For the season, Bill would average over 21 points per game, 15 and a half rebounds, shooting at 64% from the field, guys. They finished undefeated. They would go on to win the championship. And their, as a team, their average was 84.6 points per game, and their opponents 64.3. So they were absolutely blowing people out of the water all year long. In that tournament, they would defeat Weber State 90-58, where also Long Beach State, they beat them. And Long Beach State was coached by Jerry Tartania at the time. We would later know him being at UNLV. So they beat them 73-57. And then Louisville, they would beat them 96-77. In a game where Bill Walton goes absolutely nuts. 33 points, 21 rebounds. He would go 11 of 13 from the field and 11 of 12 from the free throw line. So Bill absolutely destroying Louisville. And guys, that was in the Final Four, in fact. So in the championship game, they would squeak by Florida State 81-76. And a game that was kind of nip and tuck until the latter part of the game, UCLA would take care of business. And in that game, Bill Walton would have 24 points and 20 rebounds. And thus getting the most outstanding player in the tournament and making the all-tourney team. So Bill's first full year as a player, a rousing success, guys. So much so, he comes into camp for the following season. So he's riding high, guys. He comes in, and during that summer too, guys, he also got introduced to the band The Grateful Dead. So once that happened, then came the love affair he had with the band The Grateful Dead. So much so, he grew his hair out, and then he came back to camp. And, of course, John Wooden, old school coach, he wants his guys clean cut, no facial hair, any of that stuff. So Bill comes in with his long hair, and John Wooden says, what are you doing? And Bill says, you know, he's you know, since he won a championship, since he's was the most outstanding player in the tournament, all the accolades he got in his first year, he's figured, you know, coach will give him a little slack and let him wear his hair long. No. John Wooden ain't having that. So here's what John Wooden says to him, because he refused to cut his hair. He said, "Well, Bill, we're going to miss you." And with that, Bill jumps on his bike. He loves the bike, guys. He's a cyclist. So he jumps on his bike, goes, finds the local barber, gets him to cut his hair, even get the scissors himself to cut him, to cut his hair off. And then 15 minutes later, he gets back to the gym, and thus the story. So I guess that leeway didn't happen for him. All right, so let's go to his junior year. Junior year, pretty much a rousing success as well. 30 straight games he won. So far, Bill, in two seasons as a varsity player, no defeats, guys, 60-0. Another championship, he would average on the season 20.4 points per game, almost 17 rebounds, and 65% from the field, guys. So, whew, good gracious. And then in that year, they would average 81.3 points per game. The team would average, and their opponents a little over 60 points per game. So again, they're crushing their opposition, guys. And in that tournament, guys, they defeat Arizona State 98-81, where Bill dominates yet again, 28 points with 14 rebounds. San Francisco, they beat them 54-39, a game where Bill didn't play all that well, guys, 9 points with 14 rebounds. And then in the Final Four against Indiana, coached by the great Bob, the late great Bob Knight, 70-59, where Bill has a game where he has 14 points, just 7 rebounds, but he has 9 assists. And then he has the ultimate game, guys, against Memphis State, 87-66. This is a performance for the ages, guys. 44 points he scores on 21 of 22 shooting from the field. Good gracious. And then 13 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. He does injure his knee late in that game and had to be carried off. But Memphis State, coached by Gene Bartow, legendary coach, and their main player there was Larry Keenan. But Bill absolutely destroys Memphis State, giving you one of the finest performances you'll ever see in a championship game. So your 2 years, undefeated both years, riding high. Oh, by the way, he was the most outstanding player in the tournament yet again, and also on the all-tourney team yet again. During the offseason, though, guys, he did get arrested during the offseason, and that was for being part of the anti-Vietnam War protests, guys. So Bill, very much aware of what's going on and opposed to the Vietnam War, like a lot of college students at that time. Coach Wooden would have to bail Bill out of jail. And they had a talk, and he, of course, John Wooden expressed his disappointment and basically told Bill, you know, there's a better way of handling these sort of things. So, yeah. So they did see eye to eye in that regard. But nonetheless, that's what can you do? All right. So this his senior year, guys, he runs his win streak all the way up to 88 games. So he has an 88-game win streak, which was snapped in a game against Notre Dame, coached by, now we know him as a commentator, Digger Phelps. And that was a 71-70 loss in a game where Bill, he had a very good first half. Second half, he was MIA. 24 points in the first half with 9 rebounds and then scoreless in the second half. Mind you, Bill did injure his back like 11 days prior to that. So you have that there. And then also two guys, Greg Lee was benched in the second half of that game. So that, many people say that that definitely played a role in what happened as far as the game goes. So very critical there. So they end up the year finishing actually 26-4. They would have a weekend where they had two consecutive losses, guys, on the road to Oregon and Oregon State. For the year, Bill averaged above 19 points per game, nearly 15 rebounds, 5.5 assists, because this was a year where assists were actually being recorded in college, and then 66.5% from the field, guys. And Bill played in, of those 30 games, he played in 27. So he missed 3. In the tournament, guys, they end up defeating Dayton 111-101, where Bill has 27 points with 19 rebounds. And then also San Francisco, they beat them 83-60 in a game where Bill has 17 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. In the final four, though, guys, they would lose to North Carolina State in what was an absolute barn burner, guys. It went into double overtime, 80-70. And in that game, Bill played 50 minutes, scoring 29 points, along with 18 rebounds and 4 assists. And this game is considered by a lot of people one of the greatest tournament games in NCAA history. Actually, they ranked it, and it's 13th. And what happened with UCLA? They had a 5-point lead down the stretch in regulation. They lost that lead. And then in the second overtime, they had a 7-point lead, which they lost. So Bill did make all tournament team there, but UCLA, they come short. So Bill has 2 championships as a collegiate player. Definitely something you can not underestimate for the most part. Guys, for his career, 86-4. So actually, the 88 game win streak was the college's win streak. So let me correct that. It was the college's win streak, not his personal win streak. And he goes, like I said, 86-4 during his college career. Outstanding, guys. His career averages, when all was said and done, above 20 points per game, nearly 16 rebounds, 5.5 assists. It's probably more, but they started counting in his senior year. and then over 65% from the field, guys. So that is his career there with the UCLA team. Now we move forward to his time. Oh, before I even go there, many consider him the greatest college player ever. Of course, among the likes of Luau Cinder as well. He's in that stratosphere, guys, as a college player. And during his time, the ABA came chasing after Bill Walton. First, after his junior year, the Dallas Chaparrals tried to recruit him. They came in, briefcase full of money. That didn't sway Bill. And then as a senior, the San Diego Conquistadors came a-knocking, trying to get Bill to come over to the ABA. And they sweetened the deal, too, guys, by signing Wilt Chamberlain as a player/coach. But, again, Bill not having that. His eyes are towards the NBA. So, with that said, he enters the 1974 draft, guys. He's drafted number one overall by the Portland Trail Blazers. And in that draft, guys, the number two pick, Marvin Barnes, who gets drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers, he actually doesn't go there. He goes to the ABA instead, Marvin Barnes does. The fifth pick, Bobby Jones, he's drafted by the Houston Rockets. That's when they would make the move to Houston. Bobby Jones would also defect to the ABA. Then you have Campy Russell, who was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers at 8. Also, Bill's teammate, Mar Wilkes, he gets drafted by the Golden State Warriors at pick number 11. And then Maurice Lucas drafted 14th. Bear that name in mind, guys, Maurice Lucas. He would get drafted by Chicago via the New York Knicks pick. And then Maurice Lucas, he would go to the ABA. And then also Brian Winters, he's drafted by the LA Lakers at 12. And then late in the third round, George Gervin gets drafted by the Phoenix Suns. But George Gervin at the time was in the ABA playing for the Virginia Squires. He stays in the ABA. So Bill is now in the NBA. His first two seasons were pretty much a disaster, guys. They were injury plague seasons, guys. Here's the injuries he amassed in those first 2 years. Broken wrist twice, two dislocated toes, two broken toes, sprained ankle, and a leg injury. As a rookie, he only played in 35 of the 82 games, averaging 12.8 points per game, 12.6 rebounds, nearly 5 assists, shooting it 51.3% from the field. And also he was 2.7 blocks for him. His second season, oh, by the way, he was coached in his first two seasons under legendary coach Lenny Wilkins. Although his two seasons here were nothing to sneeze at. It didn't go all that well for Lenny Wilkins. But Bill had a tremendous respect for Lenny Wilkins nonetheless. Then in season two, 51 games he played in. And then his average, over 16 points per game, 13.4 rebounds, over 4 assists, about little over a block and a half per game, shooting it only 47% from the field. In season three, that's where everything came together, guys. They changed coaches from Lenny Wilkins to Jack Ramsey. Jack Ramsey, a veteran coach, he's coached in other places like Philadelphia and also for the Boston Braves. And then also a key move for the Portland Trailblazers at the time, acquiring in the 1976 ABA dispersal draft a guy by the name of Maurice Lucas, who I think made a huge difference in for that Portland team. His presence really, really was imperative for that squad. He was a guy who, if guys want to try and, you know, beat up Bill, that wasn't going to fly with Maurice Lucas. He wasn't having that. Also on the team was Lionel Hollins in the backcourt. Also Bob Gross, Dave Twarczyk, rookie Johnny Davis, and Lloyd Neal as well on the squad. Bill, in the offseason, he still continued his cycling. He got into weightlifting, guys, and he would change up his diet upon entering that season. Bill pretty much went vegetarian for the most part. In those first two seasons, it was rough for Bill. The fan base got on him, calling him a bus, and just absolutely destroying Bill. And then, you know, remember, too, the fact that he's this free spirit, you know, he's now really gets to hang with his guys, the Grateful Dead and so forth. So, you know, they call him a hippie and all these sort of things. But Bill won the fan base over on opening night in his third season, guys, after getting into a fight and being ejected from the game. Some third string center comes and try and mess with Bill. Bill stands up for himself and he gets into a fight and he gets ejected. The crowd goes wild. And then after that, the crowd started showing up for the games. And then, of course, the winning helps. So they began winning as well with Jack Ramsey under the helm and his cast of players. And the record for the season, 49-33, guys. He played in 65 games, so much more up from his previous season, 14 more games. He averaged 18.6 points per game, over 14 rebounds, 14.2 to be exact, which led the NBA. 3.8 assists, and then 3.2 blocks. That also led the NBA. And guys, he's two of five players to have led the league in rebounds and blocks in the same season, guys. That's the kind of season Bill was having. He finished 52.8% from the field, and then nearly 70% from the free throw line. And that year, guys, he finished second in the MVP voting, losing out to his predecessor at UCLA, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was selected to his first All-Star game, although he didn't play in that game. He was hurt at the time. He was first-team All-Defense, second-team All-NBA, guys. That's the kind of year he had. So let's go to the playoffs. In the playoffs, guys, he would win the first round against Chicago, going up against Artis Gilmore. And in that series, guys, two games to one, they win. 17.3 points per game, 12.3 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 4.3 blocks. Wow. So very nice series for Bill. Then we move on to the conference semifinals where they would face the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets at center for them, Dan Issel. And they win that series 4-2. Bill in that series, 17.5 points per game, 13 rebounds, over 6 assists, and 3 blocks. In the conference finals, guys, against the LA Lakers, they were the underdog in that series. Everybody thought the Lakers would win. Lakers had the better record, actually. And, of course, led by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But the Blazers would get the best of the Lakers, winning that in a sweep, guys, 4-0. Bill, for that series, 19.3 points per game, nearly 15 rebounds, nearly 6 assists, and 2.3 blocks. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Kareem. Kareem, of course, you know, he got his numbers, but overall, the Blazers just wiped them off the floor. And then in the finals, guys, they played the Philadelphia 76ers, again in the underdog role because a lot of people were rooting for Dr. J. It was his first year in the NBA after being in the ABA. So everybody was rooting for them. It had a stacked team as well, guys. It had Dave McGinnis. You had also Doug Collins. You had him there. You had Lloyd Free, who we now know as World Be Free. Darryl Dawkins was on that team. They had a loaded team. And again, everybody had them favored. No one except for the Portland faithful gave the Blazers a chance. And then as the series started, the Blazers would lose the first two games. So it seems like things were not starting good for the Blazers. But in that game, and I think this is critical, the fact that there was this fight towards the end of the game with Darryl Dawkins and Maurice Lucas. And yeah, it was pretty bad fight. You know, back in those days, they let people go and so forth. If it was today's NBA, both those guys would be probably suspended for game 3. But that wasn't the case here. So that's the way to get game 2 ends. Game 3, here's what Maurice Lucas does. Man, it's a genius. He goes, makes a beeline for, because everybody was out there, everybody was shooting up shots, practicing and so forth. Maurice Lucas was nowhere in sight. What happened was he would come onto the floor, he would make a beeline for the Sixers bench. He goes up to Darryl Dawkins. What he does, he puts out his hand and shakes his hand. Reluctantly, Darryl Dawkins goes and shakes his hand. And from that moment, Darryl Dawkins was putty in Maurice Lucas's hand the rest of the series. Absolutely genius of Maurice Lucas. So what do the Blazers do? They run off 4 straight victories to get the championship. And in that series, Bill Walton absolutely showed up and showed out. 18.5 points per game, 19 rebounds, guys. He absolutely controlled the boards, over 5 assists, 3.7 blocks, and a steal per game. And in the game-clinching championship game, game 6, 20 points, 23 rebounds, 7 assists, and 8 blocks, guys. Absolutely masterful performance. So much so, Bill Walton gets the finals MVP. And the Portland Trail Blazers win their first and only championship for the city of Portland. And and then dig this, guys. CBS has to, after the game is over, you know how it is today, you know, they have the trophy ceremony and all this. CBS cuts away from all of that to show the Kemper Open, because supposedly the one of the higher up execs was a golf lover. So the Kemper Open was, and they kept advertising it during the game. If, you know, the series is over, we'll go straight to the Kemper Open. And then that's what happened. So Bill Walton's on top of the world, winning an NBA championship. What's to come? Well, anywho. All right, so I'm going to cut it off here, actually. There's more to do as far as Bill's career in the NBA and then also his commentating that he does after his playing days are done. So we're going to stop it here, guys, but I'm going to continue. But please come back to listen to the second half of this. All Things Basketball with GD, that's the website, on YouTube, socials, podcast platforms, all of that. All right, guys, so I have part 2 coming to you. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk soon.